The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. James is towards the end of the New Testament. If you've gone to Revelation, you've gone too far. It is after Hebrews, and it's before 1 Peter. Understand that James, the person who wrote this book, was the half-brother of Jesus. He knew Jesus very well and probably did not believe at first, but later became a believer and actually became the head of the church in Jerusalem. So James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
I used to play baseball a lot. Used to be pretty much addicted to it. I guess I kind of wanted to be a doctor from the beginning. Anything little kids look up to. When we got to the hospital, my stomach hurt so bad they gave me morphine. And I don't really remember anything after that because I was out. They did the biopsy and they found out it was a stage 4 neuroblastoma. Didn't really know what that was. I knew it was cancer, but didn't really know what cancer was either, but I knew it was bad. But I didn't know how bad.
He's got a tumor behind his heart. The same tumor wraps up his spine. My child's bones are breaking.
Your whole body feels like it's on fire. Feels like you're laying on a bed of nails.
He couldn't breathe, and he's screaming so loud, saying, "Stop, stop!"
There's no more baseball, no more school. It was awful.
I've been to doctors in New York, Boston, San Francisco, Houston, and every single one of them says, "My son's going to die."
Of course I want to live. Who doesn't? I mean, obviously, I want to beat this disease, but I'm not going to be that sad if I don't.
My son said, "I know I'm in a lot of darkness right now, but I've come to learn that the greatest amount of darkness, just the smallest amount of light, will overcome it."
Sort of have these moments when you ask God, and why my son? You know, why can't you use this in a different way?
Life is hard. And there are times in our lives when we are in this darkness and there's this anguish that we have. I mean, even Solomon felt it. In Ecclesiastes 2:17, he says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind." I mean, that same thing could be said today. All is vanity with our political climate and our social climate. See, our lives at times can seem to have so much trouble and so much emptiness. We are so full of trouble, and yet we feel empty. even as believers, life can be difficult to deal with. And sometimes even the greatest things in our lives cause us trouble. Marriage. Marriage was an institution that was started by God, and it is an amazing gift. I can't imagine my life without my wife. And even that has trouble. Paul told the church at Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7:28, he says, "Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that." Paul wanted to spare the church of Corinthians at Corinth from having the troubles that come with being married. Worldly troubles. You know, even some of the most stable and long-lasting marriages go through moments in time where things are dark, where things are hard. And there's a lot of sorrow and pain. And even if a marriage doesn't have that, there comes this time in the life of a marriage when one of the spouses dies. And the remaining spouse has to deal with the pain and the anguish and the loss of being separated from their life partner, the person they've spent their life with. And it's hard. It's painful. And then children. Again, an amazing gift from God. And yet, can lead to so much pain and struggles. I mean, we see in this video, his name is Ethan Hallmark. His parents didn't plan for that. And yet, they're having to deal with it. These things that are beyond our control, they play havoc on our lives. And our plans and our hopes for the future of our children are taken, snatched out of our hands. And there are times when our children are taken away by life and by death. And we are completely out of control. We have no control over it. And then sometimes our kids may wander down paths that make us stay up at night. And I don't care if your child is 16, 13, or 65. They still take paths that make us hurt and worry. I'm not either. Sounds like my phone. You know, I think of the story of the prodigal father. And I love that story, but the problem with that story is I don't think we really get the whole picture. I imagine that when that son came to his father and said, "Father, you're not dead yet, but I want my half of the money." I'm sure that father was grieved. And if you read it, there's a short period of time between when he asked for it, he gets it, and he leaves. So he's there for a little while. Then he decides, "I'm going to leave." And I can imagine that father didn't just sit there and say, "Okay, go, son, go, have a good time. You know, everything will be great. Okay, it's fine, no problem." I'm sure he went into his inner room with his son's mother, and he wept. He cried for his son and the choices that his son was making. Jesus understands trouble. I mean, immediately, as soon as he is baptized, he's taken to the desert, and he is in anguish. His heart is in anguish because he's fasting for 40 days. And it wasn't that he was just fasting, but at the end of that, Satan comes and tempts him. And yet, he doesn't sin. He groans. He weeps. When his friend Lazarus dies, Jesus knew he was going to raise him again. But he weeps for Lazarus' family, knowing the pain and the anguish that they're going through. His heart is broken for the city of Jerusalem. I mean, I love the image. He says, I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. And yet, they turned away from him. It broke his heart. And then there was the pain and the anguish that happened in Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. Not to mention the pain of the cross and the fact that he was going to be separated from his Father. The first time in eternity that he was ever separated from his Father. The only time it ever happened. Jesus knows tribulation. He knows pain. He knows suffering. In John 16:33, he tells us, in this world you will have trouble. If you don't, consider yourself blessed. And watch out, because you may have it. We're going to have trouble, pain, anger, sorrow, tribulation. It's all part of life, and it's a result of the original sin that Adam and Eve committed. We can't get away from it. It's part of being on this planet. And many times, it's beyond our control, and it's not our fault. And sometimes, it is our fault, because we've made the wrong choices. We've gone down roads we should have gone down, and we must suffer the consequences. But many times, it is beyond our control. There's some things we need to understand about trials that we have in life. I'm going to kind of run through those here. We need to understand that there are many different trials. Now, we don't know the trials that James is talking about. We don't need to know. We don't need to know what they are. But what we need to understand is that there are some that are internal and there are some that are external. And I want to tell you, some of the most profound troubles you're going to face are the ones that are internal. Internal. Because those troubles have to do with that struggle inside of us. Whether it's fear or loneliness or unfulfillment or frustrations or worries or misunderstandings, unmet expectations we have on ourselves or loss. You know, those things can be just as debilitating as if somebody comes to you and causes you trouble. They're just as debilitating as the trials of criticism, persecution, misunderstanding, conflict, lies, and whatever else this life throws at us. But see, the thing is what we can't control are the trials. What we can control is our response to them. And this is why James tells us to count it as all joy when we face various trials. Now, I don't believe that James is telling us that we just need to be, hey, everything is great. It's wonderful. You know, somebody comes in and say, how are you doing? You're saying, oh, I am being torn apart inside and people are criticizing me. But you know what? It's awesome. That's not what James is saying. If he was saying that, I'd be thinking, he's a fool. He's not saying that. I mean, look what David wrote in the Psalms. You read the Psalms and there are times when he is high praising God, and there are other times he's at the bottom. When he was being chased by Saul, he is at the bottom and he's crying, he's lamenting. It's a great word, lamenting. He's lamenting to God about where he's at and how hard it is and how he feels that God is away from him. This is the man who's after God's own heart, who God had anointed to be king. And yet, he's lamenting that he feels God is far away from him. James isn't telling us just to have this Pollyanna attitude. Because, understand, there is a time for weeping. There's a time for sorrow. And there's even a time to question God. We saw in the video, we saw Ethan's father. He says, sometimes I ask God, why? Why my son? Could you not do this some other way? In fact, I believe James answers the question, why God, before we even ask it. If you look at verse 3, he says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. See, the trials that we face, the trials that you're facing, the sorrow, that sorrow, that deep sorrow, it's not there to break you. It's not there to punish you. It's given to you to test you. It's given to you to make you stronger, to produce steadfastness. This word, testing, it's dokimon in Greek. No, that's not brother of Pokemon. Dokimon. It means to be approved. He's trying to see that you are approved, that your steadfastness is approved. We need to know that God has a purpose, and that purpose is to make you stronger, to produce steadfastness, the staying power that you have in times of trouble. It's a tenacity. I love the word tenacity. It's this passion you have, a preserving spirit, that you're willing to stand up under pressure, to endure. You can go to the gym and you can build your arm muscles, your leg muscles, your back muscles, your stomach muscles. How do you build your spiritual muscle? Through trials. That's what builds our spiritual muscles. So we need to know there's a purpose behind it. We also need to know that when we're going through trials, God is allowing it. He's allowing it to happen. Nothing happens in this life by chance. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as karma. There's no such thing as chance. We go through things in life because that's what God wants. Whether we've done something wrong and we have to live with the consequences, He allows the consequences to happen, or He allows trouble and tribulation to happen to us because He's trying to teach us, to strengthen us. Because God is sovereign and He's working in our lives to achieve His end. And I want to tell you, I do not understand the sovereignty of God and how that works with our free will. I do not fully understand it. I'm learning every day to understand it more because I'm experiencing it. I experience my free will and how it plays into God's sovereignty, His willingness to make everything happen the way He wants it to happen. I can't explain it, but I know Scripture says that God is sovereign. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." You and I can plan what we're going to do tomorrow, but God has already established what those steps are. Think about that. Try to outthink God. Could you imagine trying to say, okay, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. God's not going to know about it. He already knows. And He's already planned the steps for you to do that. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. And we know that because my favorite verse from Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He prepared beforehand, that we would walk in it." He has planned out everything already. We're just walking in it, using our free will to do His will. I don't understand it. But what we need to understand is that this test, this trial that we're going through, God is using to strengthen us and to make us a blessing to others. I don't know. In the trials that I've experienced, in the midst of them, I have not sat there and thought, boy, how is this going to make other people better? You know, what is this going to teach everybody else? I don't think about those things in the midst of it. But that's what He's doing. He's teaching us so we can help others. And so that we can honor His name. God has a plan. He has a plan. I want to tell you something. He's wise enough to know which plan is best. Much wiser than we are. We also need to understand that within that, God will never allow something to happen to us that He doesn't give us the ability to walk through it. He promised us. He promises us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But, there's always a but, with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. See, God is not going to step down here and take you out of the trouble. What he's going to do is he's going to help you to endure it. God's grace is always sufficient. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the thorn in his side. And there was something that was bothering him. And he asked God 3 times, take it away. And God says, no, but I'm going to help you deal with it. I'm going to help you deal with it. We've got to have this confidence that God has the ability to get us through these trials. We have to have this confidence. Because I don't know about you, but I too many times I want to fix these things by myself. I know what needs to be done. In reality, I don't know anything. I need to listen to God. And listen to his grace, and he will get me through it. And there's great joy in knowing that. Being a believer, there's great joy in knowing that God's going to take care of it. I mean, think about this. How awful would it be for you to be going through trials and not know God? You would think this world is an extremely cruel place, and if you believed in God, he's an extremely cruel God to put you through this. But if you know that these are teaching things, these are items he's given you and problems he's given you that's going to make you stronger, and you know that he's not going to leave you alone, he's going to carry you through it, you can take it. You can understand, and you believe, and you understand that he is a loving and patient God, and he wants to carry you through it. Because God is perfecting you. Do you know that? You're not perfect. We are not perfect. We will be one day. But while we're here on this earth, he's perfecting us through our trials. Because one day we will stand before him and we will be perfect. As he is perfect. That's the eternal perspective we need to have. He's perfecting us for eternity. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's hard to have joy in the midst of trials. It's hard to have joy in the midst of sorrow. But see, we find joy not in the sorrow. We find joy in knowing that these sorrows and this pain and this anguish and the criticism and the things that people are doing towards us and the things that we're doing to ourselves are only going to last for a short time. That we will spend eternity with God without all these trials. They only last for a while. See, I don't know about you, but what I want to ask God, I want to say, God, please give me a trouble-free life. God, how much can I do for you if my life had no trouble? Couldn't I do even more? Think about this. If I didn't have to worry about money, if I didn't have to worry about relationships, if I didn't have to worry about the fact that my kids may end up walking away from the faith and getting involved in drugs and alcohol, if I didn't have to worry about my wife was going to leave me, and I don't worry about that, by the way, and if I was going to worry about, you know, people in the church aren't going to like me, if I didn't have to worry about those things, how much more could I do for God? But see, that's not the way God works. He doesn't want you to pray for a worry-free life. He wants you to pray. We need to ask him, God, work in me. Show me that your grace is sufficient. Carry me through these troubles. Show me grace in my weakness. Because see, I want to see God working in me. I want to see him changing me. I want to see him perfecting me. I've seen the imperfect me. I don't want to see it anymore. I want God to perfect me. And believe me, I will not reach perfection here on this side. But he's moving me closer. He's moving you closer. And we need to pray, God, do whatever it takes to make me what you want me to be.
This is something I've written to my brothers and sister and my friends. This is to Lauren, Bryce, Caleb, and all my friends. You guys have made a huge impact on this journey. I can't imagine it without y'all. Y'all stood by me in the hardest parts, and there's not a minute I've been in treatment without y'all's support. I don't know if y'all know it, but I have seen the true love of God through all y'all. Saw it in Spencer and Christian when y'all were constantly popping heat packs for me during antibodies. I recently endured the hardest treatment of my life, and y'all were there even when I was screaming from the terrible antibodies. At times it felt like God was far away, but he was right there in my two friends. I saw it on Lauren when she set up a little store to raise money for the hospital. I saw it in Matt when he would constantly come up to the hospital or just sit and fish at the pond with me. I saw it in Tanner when he would walk with me after surgery. I saw it in Bryce and Caleb when they would pull my IV pole. There's a funny story there that I'm not going to tell. Keep putting your faith in God and always remember that he is with you and even in the depths of suffering. He's good. Love you guys.
Just so you know, Ethan passed away on September 25th of 2014. 2 months before these videos were released. You may be in a great amount of darkness right now. But the smallest amount of light can overcome it. We don't have to go through darkness alone. God is with us. And I know that sounds so trite. And we say, oh, I know God's with me, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of push that off. But God is with us, and he shows us he's with us because the fact that the Holy Spirit draws us together into a family. God's family. We are to be there for each other. Not to say, have the right words to say. Believe me, I do not have the right words to say when somebody is struggling. But to weep. I can weep with those who weep. We're here to be with each other during our times of need. And that's how we show God is there when we do that. I'm going to show a video and a song is going to be played. I want to take some time to pray with anyone who wants prayer. If you're struggling and you need prayer, I want you to come up and pray with me. Don't care about what anybody else in this sanctuary thinks. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God thinks. And I want to pray with you because I care for you and I love you. And I've been there. I'm hurting too. After this song plays and you listen to the words, if you need to leave, I'm going to ask that you leave quietly. If you need prayer, I'll stay as long as we need to have prayer. I would ask you to come up along the outside. We'll push the table back if we need to. If you're hurting, if you're in a dark place, it only takes a small amount of light. Come and pray. I'll pray for you. And I'll pray for you this week. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to be for each here for each other. We're here to pray. We're here to weep together. We're here to hold each other up. Listen to these words. Because these trials that we're going through, this darkness that we are in will drive us to our knees, which is the very place we needed to be anyways.
Today, I got your letter, the one you said I never would read. And it seems you've been through some weather, and you feel like surrendering. Before you commit the crime, before you abandon your dream, take a look how the hardest of times will drive you to your knees, the very place you needed to be, where you can hold.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.